Well, we've been learning we have a great God who is great in goodness, and that we can rest with having our times in His hand. We've been concerned with some of the things that God is. And we began right at the beginning that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so as our hearts are drawn out to be drawn closer to Him, we can be very sure that because He is going to reward. He's going to reward a heart that desires to taste and see that the Lord is good. He's going to reward a heart that draws near to Him. We saw that our God existed, that He was eternal, that He was omnipotent, and that He was omniscient, and that He was omnipresent, and that we could know the presence of the Lord in a gracious way, that we could know that God is immense, and in His immensity He filled the universe, but that God also showed us that there was a gracious presence that we could know. His presence fills heaven and earth. There is nowhere where God is not. And yet there is a way that God reveals Himself to us as we draw near to Him and He draws nigh to us. To be able to know the presence of God through trial and affliction as well as when the sun shines bright is the blessed portion of the child of God, that he can know Him in that way and can rest in Him. And we've been looking at some of the other things that God is. We saw that God was holy, and we saw that holiness touching His omniscience and His omnipresence and His omnipotence, that in His great power was a great holiness and a great goodness. And we saw how they all blended together, and that in that great power He was a sovereign God. He has an absolute right to deal with His creatures according to the counsel and according to the purpose of His own will. We learned that was a good counsel and a perfect purpose, and that God is going to work all things according to the counsel of His own will. We found that there was a place to rest in the sovereignty of God. But our own hearts could be blessed in knowing, because He was sovereign, He has a perfect will that's in a perfect knowledge and in perfect holiness, in perfect goodness, in perfect love, in perfect majesty. It all blends together because He's one God. And all of His attributes are blending in equality in that one God, so that none of them would override another in a wrong way. Perfect God in a perfect balance. Now, we looked last night at His goodness, and I suppose there are some relative attributes that come out of His goodness that we speak of as God. We see God as gracious. He's a God of grace. God is faithful. God is a God of mercy. God is long-suffering. And certainly we see many of these things coming out of His goodness, and yet not necessarily His goodness. And one of them is His long-suffering. And we're going to call it the patience of God. Patience towards His creation, toward His creature. I'd like to take a verse from the book of Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, and we see the patience of God revealed to us in His slowness to anger. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. We take a look at this verse and we can see that it says, the Lord is slow to anger. And yet, in His slowness to anger, there is a balance with it, And that is in great power. So as we view the nature of the slowness to anger, it is not found in weakness. Because God is slow to anger is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of God's power. You see, the two of them are put together again. It is God's power over his anger. In other words, his anger is never going to be greater than his power. His anger is going to be in balance and in subjection to his power. It's a perfect balance. And so he says, he is slow to anger. And of great power. What is the mark of a man when we view a man and we view his character? We see a man that is quick to anger is a dangerous man. Recently, there was a headline in the paper, I just caught it down in a newsstand, about some coach of a football team. So had one of the football players catch a pass right in front of him. And in an immediate flash of anger, he just dashed out and he hit him. Of course, they fired him, and rightly so. That kind of man shouldn't be coaching a team. Now, he was a good coach, all right, but there was something that was out of balance with his ability to coach. And that was an emotion that he couldn't control. And that is not found in God. That is not found in God. There is no anger so quick in God that's going to snap just like that. Because if there was, God would have destroyed this being a long time ago. And so as we view the long-sufferingness of God, or the slowness to anger, or the patience of God, we're viewing something that is in under perfect control in the power of God. Now, some translators have said that this word that's used here in the Hebrew for slow to anger could have been translated as with wide nostrils. It was used in the sense of a horse. As a horse in his anger begins to rear, and you can see him panting through his nostrils with short breath. Because his nostrils are narrow. But this gives us a view of one with wide nostrils who has sufficient air and that his anger is under control. And so what he's saying to us is God is slow to anger and his anger is under perfect control. Now he shows us that in his strength. He says, the Lord is slow to anger and of great power, but he will not at all acquit the wicked. Because he is slow to anger, the reason is that he is great in power, but because he is slow to anger, he is not going to acquit the wicked. Again, it is not an anger out of an unwillingness to judge sin. He is slow to anger, being a patient God, desiring that out of his goodness would be shown mercy. And so when we view God again as one who is a patient God, it's in a great power. But the wicked will not be acquitted. There is going to be a judgment that God is going to bring against the wicked to judge them in the way that they must be judged. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah pleads with God that in his anger he would show mercy to his people. And I think that a God in his long-sufferingness has shown his patience toward his people. He says in verse 15 of Jeremiah 15, O Lord, thou knowest remember me and visit me, and avenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. So Jeremiah in his prayer is asking God to remember him, to avenge him of his persecutors, and yet not take Jeremiah away, because God was long-suffering. And so in the long-suffering of God, Jeremiah was pleading that God would deliver him, even though Israel had turned completely away. Have you ever thought of God's long-suffering in Jeremiah's day? How many times he sent Jeremiah to the people with a message and with a sign. And yet the people refused the sign and refused the message, so much so that there came a point when God said to them, obey me, and I'll plant you and not pluck you up. Stop causing your children to pass through the fire of Molech. Stop baking your cakes to the Queen of Heaven. You know what that people did? They turned to him and they said, we will cause our children to pass through the fire. We will bake our cakes to the Queen of Heaven. It was the challenge of a people with a rebellious heart to an Almighty God. Yet God in his patience did not immediately strike them dead. God in his long suffering reached out to Assyria and controlling a king in his sovereignty, operated in his patience, and he took Israel away in judgment to come because they refused fully his long-suffering way. We see again Moses in the book of Numbers in chapter 14. Here is a man who led Israel, and a man who led them through 40 years. And in leading them in that 40 years, he had the chance to know God in God's dealing in a long-suffering way. And yet Israel now comes to Kadesh Barnea. I want you to see for a moment the lack of faith. Here had been a people who saw the dealings of God with a heathen nation that had refused them. They saw God giving them the instruction of the Passover lamb, and they saw God's dealing with them, putting them in safety under the blood, and then delivering them through power through the opening of the Red Sea. Then watch that God provide to them what they needed in the wilderness, and showing them his glory in their presence in the Shekinah cloud, bringing them to the place of Kadesh Barnea now, and saying, go in and possess the land. And the weak little heart of man says, how about giving us a little look first? We thank you, Lord, for what you want to give us, but let us take a little look at it. And I want to stop a moment and say how many times our hearts have been in the same way, in that lack of faith when God said, here, it's yours, possess it. And we said, well, let's take a little look. Let's put out the fleece. Let's see if God is really in it. Because the lack of faith was there, we lost the blessing that God would have had for us. And yet 40 years now, and they go in and they send the spies, and 10 say no, 2 say go. And you know, because of the lack of faith, the people were judged there in the wilderness. And here's Moses, the man who brought them that far. And he says in verse 17, "And now I beseech thee, let the power of the Lord be great." Why was it he called on the power of the Lord? I think he called on the power of the Lord because there was a need for power and patience as far as God was concerned. And he said, "Let the power of the Lord be great, as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long suffering." The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is patient. The Lord is long suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people, even from Egypt till now. Look, God had been dealing with them all along the way in a slowness to anger, in a long-suffering way. And Moses pleads the power of God. "Oh God," he says, "exercise your power over your patience and your long-suffering. Don't blot them out now." God had said to Moses, "I'll wipe them out and raise up of you a new nation." And Moses said, "Oh God, don't do that. Don't let the Egyptians ever say, look what their God did to them." Moses didn't plead in behalf of some good in Israel, did he? He made it a plea because of all that God is. We make a mistake sometimes, I think, in our intercession. And we can begin to plead for somebody because of something that we have seen in them rather than all that God is. All that God is. And that His goodness and His mercy, His love, His grace, His long suffering can be shown because of what God is. Now, God is slow to anger. And I think we can see the nature of that slowness as we take a view for a moment. First of all, in Adam. When Eve and Adam were about to take a bite of that fruit, well, the thought was in their mind. God could have wiped them out in a moment. But He didn't. He didn't. There was a purpose of God to be worked out. Because it was in the counsel of God that one day He might have a perfect man. Men reconciled to God through Jesus Christ in an unfailing being. Do you realize that? We are in Jesus Christ because God was long-suffering and God was slow to anger, what we never could have been in Adam. Never. Because there is a day coming when there will be no failure in any one of us. No failure. It will be perfection. And we will be as God in the sense of being without failure, being immortal and incorruptible. I am looking forward to that day. I am looking for the day when in totality I shall be as He is. Without ever an evil thought to cross my mind. There'll be no sin there. No sin. And so you see, when he was long-suffering with Adam, he was long-suffering, and yet there was a judgment that came because of the sin. He said, "Thou day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Did Adam drop dead? We see death in two senses there, don't we? We see it, first of all, he was separated from God. He was put out of the garden, and that was the mercy of God. Oh, I know sometimes, beloved, there are so many that don't see God's mercy in that, but I see God's mercy in that. There was a tree in that garden, a tree of life, and I think of what it would have been had Adam eaten of that tree of life, after he had eaten of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and forever remained in that state. What a God of mercy he put him out. Adam died, or there was a judgment. He was separated from God. But now look at God's long-sufferingness again in the same instance. How long did Adam live? Let's see. 934 years, wasn't it? Before Adam died a physical death. And in that 934 years, how long-suffering God was. How long-suffering. We come to Noah. Well, first of all, how about Cain? Look at what happened in Cain's life when he brought that sacrifice. And when he brought the sacrifice, God showed him that if he did good, good would be rewarded. But if he did wrong, sin was at his door. Or as some have thought of it, a sin offering is required of thee. But at any rate, sin was before him. You know, God in long suffering was slow to anger with Cain. But Cain wasn't that way with his brother. Oh, what a difference. Cain immediately turned in anger when he's with his brother in the field, and he killed him. And God didn't still strike Cain dead. He put a mark on him, and I read, Cain went out from the presence of God. Cain walked away from the gracious presence of God. He could have turned around and repented. I don't read that he did. Finally, you take a look at the flood, and you see a judgment coming. But God does to the people in the day of the flood just as he did to Cain and just as he did to Adam. There was a warning. He was slow to anger, and so there was a warning given. How long did that warning last? 120 years, perhaps. Noah was there building that ark, and every time that hammer drove in another peg in that ark, it was saying, judgment is coming. God was long-suffering, but I read that his spirit would not always strive with a man. And God was long-suffering to Israel. 40 years he dealt with them in the wilderness. There was 490 years that he dealt with them in the land before he had to bring judgment to them, because he gave them a simple little instruction. Every seventh year, let the land have its rest. The seventh year is the Sabbath year. Put your faith in me for your supply. I'll give it to you. Let the land have its rest. And I read 7 times, 70 groups of sevens, 70 Sabbath years, they refused to let the land have its rest. And finally, he did not acquit the guilty, but there was 70 years in captivity, one for every year, they refused the land to have its rest. God is slow to anger, isn't he? But he does not acquit the guilty. There is power in his anger. Now it's nice that we can look at Adam, and we can look at Cain, and we can look at the then world, and we can look at Israel and say, well, God was sure patient with them. How about the Gentile? How about you and me? How patient has he been with us? Look what he's done to the Gentile. And the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 1. My, what a commentary. Romans is in chapter 1 as to God's dealing with the Gentile. And in the way that the Gentile had gone, so far away from God. And we read, verse 21. Well, let's go back to verse 19 so you get the whole of the context. Or verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God unto an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And what a commentary on the way they went. And yet God didn't bring immediate judgment. God in his patience waited for a time when he could show his grace, his mercy, his long-sufferingness, his goodness to the Gentile. And then out of the Gentile, through the work of Christ, that he might call a people that would be a glory to him. And you know, when I look at the long-suffering of God, I'm amazed at this. That God permitted Israel and blindness in part to happen to Israel, that he might show his grace to the Gentile. And he saved the Gentile that he might provoke the Jew to jealousy and turn him again to his God. And God in his patience and his long suffering has worked in his providence to bring it to pass through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How wondrous, how patient God is, and how he has worked in such a perfect way. Look in Romans chapter 9, if you would, please. When again we see his power in that patience. Verse 18 says, therefore hath he mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and upon whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault, for who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? And listen. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he has before prepared unto glory. Even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but of the Gentiles. What a working of our God in his long suffering, permitting those vessels of wrath to endure, that he might show mercy, even unto us, and to bring us into that realm of the goodness of God. I read in the 145th Psalm in verse 8 that the Lord is full of compassion and slow to anger. In his patience goes hand in hand with his slowness to anger, or his compassion, pardon me. His slowness to anger goes hand in hand with his mercy. You see, when it comes to his goodness, I see his goodness as something that is shown to all his creatures, whether it's the angelic being or the worm that crawls. His goodness is over all the earth and over all his creation. Out of his goodness he giveth everything its meat in due season. And when it comes to his patience, that is primarily to man. It is secondarily, perhaps, even to angels. There have been some angels that have not been thrown immediately into the lake of fire, that they are bound today in darkness awaiting that day. And that sentence has been made. God's anger has brought forth a sentence unto the angels. And sometimes my heart has said to me, why should have God brought a judgment so immediate upon the some of the angels who left their first estate? And then as far as man is concerned, been so long suffering with us these thousands of years. And I think, and maybe if you see him as wrong, you can help me with it after a while. But number one, I have to see first God's perfect counsel. And that there was one who was going to come and take not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. And so I see first of all, in the counsel of God, God was sending his son to take the nature of man, so that as God awaited judgment in his long suffering, there was a day coming when Christ would die. And God could satisfy his wrath for sin upon his son, and then deliver in his grace those that would receive it, the recipients of it. I see number two, that I think so many times, perhaps, why so immediate a judgment upon the angels? And maybe it's because the angels saw the actuality of his glory. They were spirit beings, and they have seen his glory. And you and I see his glory as it is manifest through the Son, Jesus Christ. Satan was a being that fell. And yet God has permitted, see, this vessel of wrath to endure. And in all of his endurance and all of his existence, I'll say it in that way, has permitted him to exist. And as he exists, God is working in his goodness to bring in vessels of mercy. And yet one day soon, his wrath is going to fall upon Satan. His wrath will fall. So I see that the patience of God is primarily toward man. His goodness respects all at His creature. His patience respects us, man, as to their transgression. God doesn't bring immediate judgment. Mercy is toward His creatures as being miserable. In their misery, God shows them mercy. And patience is shown toward man as a sinful person deserving punishment. And God is long-suffering. He is slow to anger. And I got 5 minutes left. And I want to say, first of all, that the strength of God's power and the might of His power, I believe, was not displayed in creation. It was displayed in His patience toward man and His slowness to anger in judgment of sin. What great power controlled a holy God that had a wrath for sin and controlled that wrath for sin to the point of Calvary. And there, that His wrath was poured out on His Son instead of every creature that had sinned against Him. What power. I want to turn it to us now. What's the power of our lives? Other than the Spirit of God working through us as we allow Him to work, if we were going to look at a man, what is a strong man? He's a man who can control his motions. He's a man who can control his anger and his wrath. He's a man who's a patient man. He's a man who's a gentle man. And I think of God and His gentleness is what makes us great. Is it? His gentleness in waiting, His gentleness in dealing with us, is what finally brought us to the place where we appreciated His goodness, we repented, He taught us to believe. And now, if I can see God's gentleness and God's power in His long suffering, then, beloved, in this year to come, and the days ahead, the days that remain, what will our attitudes, what will our control of our emotions be toward one another? Will we show a greatness through being long-suffering and patient, even as our God? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and we see that all the way through the life of the Lord Jesus. Perfect patience. Perfect grace. You say, oh, wait a minute, Ray, God got angry, or the Lord Jesus got angry one time. And I ask you, why did He get angry? Was it an anger for Himself? Or was it for another? It was for another. When He cleansed the temple in His anger, He said, my Father's house ought to be a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. Now He says for us to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath or to anger. A man who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Christian friend, a great power will be exercised in your life. A godlike power, godliness, when we're slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to wrath. Because when a man shows his anger and he vents it, he gives place to the devil, something that is not godlike. God never did, nor did Christ, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning that the Lord is good and of great power, that the Lord is good and of great mercy, that the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and the Lord is slow to wrath and plenteous in mercy. And our Father, we thank Thee for that. As we begin this year, we bless Thee for it. We know we have a God who deals with us in a long-suffering way, waiting and working so patiently to transform these lives into the image of His Son. And as we look back on the past year, we thank Thee for Your patience with us. And we thank Thee, our Father, for the patience that did not judge immediately because of sin, but delivered up the Lord Jesus to bear Your wrath that we might be saved. And then as Your children, my, how long suffering You've been, and we thank Thee for it. And now as we go to a new year, we know that because that is Your character, God is slow to anger, slow to wrath. God is long-suffering, that we can rejoice in the Heavenly Father who will be just that way toward us, that You pity us even as a father pitieth his children. We thank Thee for it. We bless Thee for it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.